It's time for another episode of the Tan and J-Man Show live on the ISC Sports Network. I want to start this show off by wishing my co-host a happy birthday. His birthday was yesterday. The big 3-4, as they call it. How you feeling, old man?
Feeling good, J-Man. Thanks for the birthday wishes. Thanks to everybody. Send me a text yesterday or phone call or Facebook post or whatever. Really appreciate it. But yeah, feeling old. I don't know why. 34 is not even a milestone birthday. Yeah. But, you know, I got to thinking this morning, J-Man, I'm like, wow, half my life ago, I was 17. It doesn't even feel that long ago. Yeah. Times that by two, I'm going to be 68. So yeah. It's just kind of one of those, oh boy, moments.
Yeah. Yeah. At least you got a lot. We got a long way to go, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully.
Fingers crossed. But, yeah, 34 is not a big one. 30 was pretty big, although I didn't feel like it was that big. I think 35 will hit me worse than any of them have so far. I don't know why that is. 35 just feels like, okay, getting a little older.
Did that hit your wife hard, 35?
No, not particularly. She's unfazed by most though. So, yeah, she at least she didn't say anything. Your wife's 35th coming up here in a few weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, and she's not looking forward to it. Yeah. She told me I don't even want to celebrate it, which I know she's joking. I know better than that, but yeah, it's kind of hitting her a little hard.
So. You know, that's the risk we took when we married much older women. You know, sure. they're just gonna be older than us the rest of our lives. Yeah,
I told her I'll stop with the old jokes for the next 9 days. We're the same age now for the next 9 days.
Yeah,
but after that, it's right back to it. So.
Yeah, my wife doesn't get that luxury. She turned 35 when I was 33, and I was really rubbing it in then. She was 35 for about 18 days before I turned 34. So, yeah,
beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful. Absolutely.
But I brought some birdie or bogey.
Alrighty.
With me this evening. I got to be honest, I don't like it. I will be honest to everybody out there. I was scrambling to find a question. So I did some research. I think this is right. I don't know. Yeah. I had some help with AI. Yeah. Didn't have enough time, but it's a football question.
Okay.
It's a mix of college and NFL.
Perfect.
What college has produced the most kickers to get drafted in the NFL draft? Oh,
that's a really good question. you say you hate it, but I like that question a lot because it's hard because I have no idea.
It is hard, but I hate it because I'm like, I hope the answer is factual.
Yeah.
And the little research I could do. So
I can only, I have no idea. That's a really good question because, I mean, you could go through all 32 kickers that were the kicker for the majority of the season for each team. Of course, multiple teams had multiple kickers.
Right.
I could name you maybe three or four what college they went to. I just don't know when it comes to kickers. I'm pretty good with most positions. We used to be so good at going through team, regardless of position, and knowing exactly where they went to school. Basketball especially. I remember one time we're sitting there, and I think we got every single one right.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's obviously harder with, you know, the landscape of college athletics. But, no, that's a very good question. And birdie or bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Place. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Place serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. 703 Main Street, Rochester, Indiana.
Go check it out. And I went over this last week, but the February specials, they got the Monte Cristo, the Hawaiian burger, their soups of the day. They got low-baked potato every day. Thursday's creamy chicken wild rice. Friday, cactus chili. Saturday, broccoli cheddar. Appetizers to try and share for the month are the shareable sampler. That's right up J-Man's alley, it sounds like. Boneless chicken wings and chips and salsa.
The cactus, what was the cactus?
Cactus chili.
Cactus chili. Is there actual cacti in it?
I've had it and I can't taste the cactus unless it's really fine chopped up like a pepper and I just can't tell the difference. That could be.
It's a
very sweet chili.
Okay.
Very sweet.
I've never had cactus. I know it's edible. And I would imagine it's a sweeter sort of taste. So that makes
Isn't
sense.
Isn't it good for hydration? Because it holds a lot of water.
You know, you might be onto something there.
Okay.
Which is weird because they're usually in the desert.
Right.
Seems like it wouldn't, Yeah, that's a good point. Good point.
Yeah. I don't know. I should have paid more attention in science class.
Yeah. Same. I didn't. I was more interested in heading to gym or something.
Speaking of gym, we got a lot to talk about a sport that happened inside the gym, and that's basketball.
Yeah. I said a few weeks ago now it's, nut up or shut up time. But now we got five, six games left essentially, for some teams. And, now's the time where you kind of have to start separating a little bit. You can kind of weed out the pretenders from the contenders and that sort of deal. It was a fun week, as it's been for the past couple weeks and now, but it seems like the focus is mainly on college basketball, at least for me. Of course, we had the NFL all throughout January as well, but now it's just college basketball. It's a weird time of year, 'cause that's literally it. I mean, I know there've been some golf tournaments here or there. And of course you have the NBA, which that's how little the NBA means to me. I didn't even think about the NBA. Didn't even know it was All-Star weekend until like Friday night, and I saw somebody talking about it.
Which supposedly shows, the All-Star game was actually entertaining to watch.
That's what I heard. Yeah.
But I don't know. I saw that being tweeted live last night, and it still didn't gauge my interest to flip it over. So
no, me either. And I mean, we used to get so into like the festivities where the three-point contest, the dunk contest, and now the dunk contest is so lame. No one was even there watching it, it felt like, in LA. And the dunks aren't very good. The guy who won, I think he mainly won because he did some dances afterwards, after each dunk. But I don't know how you fix that. You don't have superstars in it anymore. LeBron has never done it. He was too cowardice to do it. And Mac McClung, now he's too old. Yeah. Mac McClung, who was, three-time champ, he said that no one else wanted to do it if he was going to be in it. Did you see the clip over the weekend of the dunks he was going to do?
Yeah, he would have smoked everybody.
He would have killed everyone. Yeah. Those dunks were
maybe awesome. All-time.
Yeah.
Maybe all-time.
All-time dunks. Good for him for staying relevant, though. I mean, he's been an up-and-down guy in the NBA, but the fact he's that good of a dunker. But you had Jace Richardson smacking his head on falling down. You had Jackson Hayes doing just a normal dunk, one-handed. It was just pathetic. I didn't watch any of it. I just saw clips of it.
How about these guys who are injured but still partaking in the facilities? Like Damian Lillard's rehabbing his Achilles, but he wins the three-point.
He won the three-point. Yeah.
What are we doing?
And a lot of people were on Adam Silver for a lot of the comments. He's a terrible commissioner, for one.
I thought he was going to be really good.
I did, too. Well, the first thing he kind of did was drop the hammer on Donald Sterling. Remember his racist comments?
Oh, yeah.
And so everyone's like, all right, man, this guy's not messing around. But since then, it's been a disaster for the most part. People are watching the NBA less. You have the issues with load management and tanking, and now he's talking about some crazy idea having all the non-playoff teams playing a tournament to decide who, gets that number one pick, sort of thing. And and All-Star weekends become trash. I mean, I remember we'd like get together and watch like the dunk contest and stuff like that, and that no longer happens. For anyone, obviously for us, we're in our 30s. We probably shouldn't be doing that anymore. But those college age kids, I don't think they care at all it anymore. High school kids, nothing. And it's, I don't know what the NBA does, but I'm very glad I stopped watching years ago.
Yeah, I've got to be ready if Seattle gets a team, which is looking more and more promising, to at least hitch my wagon to them and care about them a little bit. But which, it is funny, and it started as a gimmick for me or a shtick, but I'm serious. Like if Seattle gets a team, that will be my team, and I'll at least keep up with them per se. Kind of like I do the Colorado Avalanche. I don't watch every game or anything like that, but I keep up with them and watch box scores and stuff. So
that would be fun to just jump on an expansion team's bandwagon.
Yeah.
Why not? You're literally starting with nothing.
Why not?
Yeah. Why not?
But college hoops, yeah. Big Ten race. I mean, it looks like Michigan's – I mean, well, they definitely have the upper hand. They're ranked number one in the country now. But it's still only two games. It's not three. Mm-hmm. Like it looked like it very well could be at one point during the week. But it's a two-game lead. Got a big one tomorrow night. Michigan, Purdue number one versus number seven in Mackey Arena, which amazingly – this is the first time a number one team has come into Mackey Arena since Illinois in 05.
Really?
Yeah.
That is interesting.
Yeah. I thought Indiana was number one in 2013. They were third.
Okay.
When they came in. So, yeah, it'll be rocking tomorrow night. I hate that it's on Peacock. But since I'm going, I'm glad it's a 6:30 start.
Definitely.
Like 9 o'clock start.
Yeah.
But good week for Purdue. Really good week. Got up big, 22 points early in the second half on Nebraska, then fought like heck to hang on, and the game goes into overtime, but they found a way to squeak it out. You never got to apologize for a road win in the Big Ten, especially one against a team at the time that was ranked in the top 10. And then even though I didn't get to watch much of the game on Saturday, they beat the brakes off Iowa on the road, which Iowa gave them all they wanted the first matchup in Mackey. So, I mean, last week I was predicting a split, even kind of came to terms with that, you know, best case scenario, they're probably going to split. Came out 2-0. Now they got three in a row at home. Tough ones, Michigan, Indiana, and Michigan State. But you got three in a row at home down the stretch. Feel a lot better about Purdue than I did 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I'm sure.
And that's college basketball in a nutshell, up and down.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. And as I said, you might as well get that, you know, little skid out of the way in January. Yeah. But yeah, Purdue, I didn't watch much of either of their games. But I like checked the score. Okay, Purdue's up, you know, 17.5 against Nebraska. Check back. They're up 10 with how much time? 2 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, I think it was 10 with 2:45 left, I think, or something like that. Yeah.
And then I turned, and then the Illinois game started, and I kind of turned it off. But then I checked back. It's like, oh, Nebraska, Purdue's going overtime. I'm like, oh, boy. And then Nebraska finally gets a lead. Mm-hmm. And they even had a chance to extend it late and missed, obviously. And then great finish by Clough there, but that was an unbelievable pass by Fletcher Lawyer.
Yeah, no way. I thought he was passing. I thought he was checking double team. He wouldn't get in well.
Yeah. I don't know how I fit it in there. It was a great catch, too, by Clough.
Right.
But, yeah, unbelievable pass. Find a way to hold on. But then at Iowa, I knew it would be tough, but Iowa's starting to wake up.
Yeah, they are.
Bit. Terrible loss for them at Maryland earlier in the year, and it looked like that definitely carried over into Saturday. They're a one-man show. There with Bennett Sturts, and he didn't play very well at all on Saturday, from what I could decipher.
And Purdue against Nebraska had similar struggles that Illinois had that night, not sealing the game at the free throw line late.
Yeah. Gosh. Yeah. Purdue was on the free throws.
It was the three guys for Purdue you want at the line, Smith, Lawyer, and Cox, and they couldn't make them. And it was just like, if they do that, they win by 6, 7, 8 points, and the game doesn't even go to overtime. But, man.
That Illinois Wisconsin game might be the most frustrating Illinois loss in I don't even know how long. Like, I'm still thinking about it just because they have the excuse, you know, they had no Boswell, no Stoyakov. There's your two best defenders facing the highest scoring guard tandem in the Big Ten, and John Blackwell and Nick Boyd. And Boyd torched him because Ben Hummerkaus had to guard him in the second half, and he just torched in the final 8 minutes. There's that excuse, but I don't want to use that excuse because they were up 12 with 8 minutes left. Illinois was. And still, if Wisconsin would have just come in and beat them, okay, whatever. I wouldn't even be thinking about it now. But the way it happened, because you're very clearly a better team than Wisconsin.
Right.
And again, they missed some free throws. Illinois' best free throw shooting team in the Big Ten. They were number two in the country coming in at close to 80% as a team. And again, the guys you want at the line got there with Keaton Walker. He's an 83% free throw shooter. David Mirkovich is an 80%+ free throw shooter. And they went a combined, I think, 1 for 6 in overtime for one. And a lot of it played into Boswell and Stojakovic being hurt, because those guys coming off playing 40-plus minutes at Michigan State on Saturday, followed up playing 40 minutes again against Wisconsin, and they had no legs left. Everything was short or flat. So it's just one of those games. And they still had a chance to win at the buzzer, too. I was really discouraged after that loss, but then like I kind of had to smack myself. Like, you just lost to two very good teams.
Yeah.
In overtime by one possession where you had a chance to either tie at the buzzer or win at the buzzer. So get over it. And then Boswell comes back yesterday and they just smacked Indiana in a game that I didn't think Illinois played all that well. They didn't shoot very well, but they were able to find a way to get it done while shooting 7-for-31 from three and still won by 20. And getting Boswell back just changes that defense so much. Of course, Wilkerson kind of got his. He got 21 points, but he only shot the ball 14 times. And so that was just a credit to Boswell, just preventing him from even getting shots up. And Indiana's a very unimpressive team. I'm not impressed with Tucker DeVries at all. He's an old man out there, and he's looked much worse at the high major level than he did at, you know, Drake, which, I mean, that happens. But, yeah, it was an okay week for Illinois. They only fell to 10th in the poll, which, again, the poll means nothing. All right, now I think if the season ended today, they'd be a 2 seed, and as would Purdue, with Michigan being a 1. I know Lenardi has Michigan State and Nebraska both a 4, which 2 weeks ago Nebraska's a 1. So it shows you how much the season changes, but it also shows that Nebraska's not nearly as good as, you know, everyone thought. Which, as I've said since December, I didn't believe in them that much. I think they're a good team, but don't get me wrong. But I don't think Purdue or Illinois or Michigan or those kind of teams should lose to them anyway, even on the road. But yeah, now huge week for Purdue. Two home games, as you said, Michigan tomorrow, then Indiana on Friday, and then Illinois goes West Coast. So very, very big week.
I mean, Illinois should take care of business, but those West Coast trips can be tricky.
Yeah. I think they'll be favored in both. Right. I think they'll probably end up splitting. I don't think they'll have Stojakovic this week. It doesn't even sound like he's going to make the trip as of now.
What's he dealing with?
He high ankle sprain, which he did early in the first half at Michigan State and was able to play through it through overtime and all that. And he was very good in that game too. But then it just swelled up afterwards and couldn't go against Wisconsin, couldn't go yesterday. And I imagine, I mean, if he sits this week, they don't play. I mean, they play Saturday at UCLA, but then they don't play again until Friday at home against Michigan. So wouldn't be surprised if he just stays back and rehabs. They need him, though. I mean, again, he's a really good defender. 6'7", has some length. Brad doesn't trust his bench at all, clearly. I mean, they played 6 guys more than 30 seconds, and then their 7th guy that played, he played 30 seconds on Tuesday. Then yesterday they went, you know, just 2 men off the bench, and that's going to rear its ugly head eventually. Now, in tournament time, that's usually what coaches do. They go, you know, 2 or 3 deep on their bench. But you're in the middle of February, you just got to do bench, man. Even if you don't want to, you got to put Brandon Lee or Mihailo Petrovic in, because Wagler's averaging about 38 minutes a game. Now, he's an 18-year-old with fresh legs, so that shouldn't be too big of a deal. But, yeah, the bench is starting to scare me a little bit there, which Purdue has much more depth than Illinois does.
I think the thing for Purdue this last week has been the rebounding.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, Trey Cobb-Marin especially has become a beast. And he said he's watching Dennis Rodman highlights before every game to kind of try to get in the zone and get a little pumped up. I'm like, whatever it takes, yeah, man. Because
that's a good guy to watch.
He was that way early in the season. Then he kind of lost it for a little while. And now he's back to this past week rebounding well. And it's going to take that tomorrow night against a very good Michigan team, which Michigan is a 2.5-point favorite, which Purdue's only been underdog 5 times in Mackey Arena in the last, I think, 5 or 6 years.
Wow.
And they've went 3-2 in those games. So
who are the two they lost to?
Well, I should say past decade. They lost to Villanova the year Villanova was defending champs. Then they lost to Michigan the COVID year. That was their only home loss. But they beat Michigan State and Alabama last year. And there's another one in there that they beat. Or maybe this is the fifth time. Excuse me. This is the fifth time. They're 2-2. So this is the fifth time. Yeah.
And Yaxel Landeborg had a video that surfaced that not that Purdue needs extra motivation, but I'm sure that just.
Yeah, I guess that was recorded like 4 months ago.
Okay.
But it just now came out. But Dusty May didn't really like. He made a weird comment about it. He's like, ah, Purdue's not going to use that as bulletin board material.
Yeah,
like,
I saw that too.
But he didn't really say, like, yeah, he needs to shut his mouth or, you know, anything like that. I'm like, eh, whatever. I think, like, that's like Dusty Mays, he's at the perfect school for him.
For sure.
To where, even though he's doing amazing things with the basketball program, football rules, and he can get away with a lot of his stuff. And it's not
if Juwan Howard got away with fighting Greg Gard and throwing punches at Mark Turgeon for as long as he did, I think
exactly.
Dusty is kind of a slime ball, but he's a very good basketball coach and knows what he's doing. And that'll be a heck of a game tomorrow. I'm excited to watch it.
Yeah, I just hope Purdue doesn't come out like so amped up.
Yeah,
like I've seen it happen before in big games where like. Oh, we got to put it on them to where they just tense up early on. And they haven't played extremely well at home this year.
They haven't, no.
Illinois beat them. Iowa State killed them. And then there's been a couple close ones against, like, Oregon
and
Iowa. So
Washington even kind of hung in there.
Yeah, so they're going to need the Mackey magic of old to come through tomorrow night.
As I've said, Mackey has a way of punching teams in the mouth. And they did to Michigan early last year, too.
Last year, they got huge
in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah, punked them. Yeah. A lot of different Michigan team this year, of course. But, yes,
much different.
Yeah, we'll see. But at least we're getting good Big Ten games now, this part of the season.
Yeah, I hate that it seems like Big Ten games are played Tuesday and Wednesday, and there's nothing on Monday, nothing on Thursday. You get one-offs Friday, which now it seems like the one-offs on Friday have just started. I wish they'd spread them out a little bit, and I understand the girls' basketball is also going on, and they need, you know, time as well to be on. But I hate that they jam-pack them into just 2 days throughout the week. That's frustrating to me. But
I know there's a lot of people like involved with high school basketball in the state of Indiana complaining that Purdue Indiana's on a Friday night, which it has been the past 3 years.
Yeah.
Because they're like, you know, this is supposed to be the basketball state. I'm like, unfortunately, TV networks don't care.
They don't care. Don't care at all. I don't know how much say the Big Ten has in that, which I don't think the Big Ten cares either.
No, they don't care about basketball. But, why would they? I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
But I get the gripe of, I mean, Indiana high school basketball is still pretty big in the state of Indiana, per se. So
I've seen a lot of people complain when Big Ten football is on Friday night as well,
right?
Throughout the fall, you know, this would be the high school football
high school's night. Yeah,
yeah, the high school's night. But
I
texted you earlier to say I think we should do like a Big Ten bubble watch. Mm-hmm. I would say there's. How many teams did I list? Five teams on the bubble in the Big Ten. I would have put Wisconsin in there, but their week this past week, I think
they're in
pretty much a lock at this point, winning at Illinois and then just smacking Michigan State at home. I think one, two, three, four, five teams that I think are strictly bubble right now. And that's IU, Iowa, UCLA, USC, and Ohio State. Starting with Indiana. What are your thoughts on Indiana? I think there's two wins that are kind of saving them right now.
I don't think they're good. And I know they beat Purdue. I know they had a nice little streak there, but just watching them, I mean, if they're shooting well, but they can say about anybody. If they're shooting well,
for sure.
They're really tough, but they have no inside presence. They don't seem to gel that well at times. I mean, will they make the tournament? There's a good chance. I know Lenardi's got 10 teams in right now for the Big Ten.
Yeah.
And Indiana wasn't even like one of the last four in, one of the last four buys. He had them comfortably in, I think, at the 9 seed the last time I saw, 9 or 10. Mm. But I just don't think they're very good.
Yeah.
But as of this moment, I think they're in, but a lot can change.
I agree. As you said, no inside presence at all. I mean, they're big guys averaging 4 rebounds game. Illinois out rebound by 20 yesterday, had like 20 or 20 more second chance points, which Illinois is very big and they rebound very well.
Sure.
But you look at Indiana's schedule and who they've beaten. Non-conference, they beat no one. I mean, they beat Marquette.
They did play a few.
They played Louisville, who was 6th at the time. They've fallen way back. They're still good, but they lost to them, lost at Kentucky.
Yep.
Played Marquette, second game of the year, beat them by 23. I think a lot of Indiana fans are like, oh man, might have something. Marquette's ended up being trash. Blew out Kansas State. Beat Kansas State, who just fired their head coach yesterday.
As they should have.
And then you look at their Big Ten. They lost to Nebraska, Michigan State. Iowa smacked them at home.
In Nebraska, they were up 16 in the second half.
Yeah, and Nebraska came back and won. Lost at Michigan. And their two saving graces right now are that win against Purdue. And then at UCLA, finding a way to hold on to win by one. Wisconsin at home as well. They haven't beaten anyone besides Purdue. And you could argue that their most important win was at UCLA because it's a road win.
Right.
Then you look at their schedule to play at Purdue. And then they host Northwestern. They'll beat them. Host Michigan State. That might be the biggest game of the year for them. Mm-hmm. Have to defend home court.
Mm-hmm.
Host Minnesota. And then they're at Ohio State. So there's not that many opportunities left to get a quad one win is their issue. Three of their last five, I guess, would be quad one. I think they need to go at least 3-2 in those.
They get a win or two in the Big Ten tournament to feel safe.
Yeah. They've had opportunity. They haven't had a ton of opportunities at home, Nebraska at home, Purdue at home, but a lot of their big games have been on the road, which is tough.
It is really tough.
But yeah, that Michigan State game, March 1st could be the, maybe deciding factor. Cause
Michigan State went on like a 30-2 run.
Yeah. Yeah. At Michigan State. It was terrible. But, so that's Indiana. I think right now they're probably in the metrics like them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But again, they haven't beaten anyone at all.
And name matters. They can say it doesn't. Name matters when it comes.
It does. But at the same time, they could say that last year too, and they were one of the teams left out.
That's true. Good point.
So moving on to Iowa, which I think is very interesting because they have beaten no one, and they're pretty comfortably in right now. You look at their non-conference; they played no one. They beat Ole Miss, who's ended up not being very good. They did play at Iowa State, where they blew a 10-point lead and lost. But other than that, you're playing Bucknell and Western Michigan and Chicago State and Southeast Missouri. they did beat Xavier, but they stink. They hosted them, though. But then you look at their Big Ten. Their best win is at Indiana, which that's a good road win.
And
they did smack them, too. But their second best win might be UCLA at home or USC at home or at Washington.
Should take care of those, yeah.
Lost at Maryland. I think that's the one that's going to rear its ugly head.
Sure.
And you look at Iowa's schedule the rest of the year. They host Nebraska Tuesday. Massive game for Iowa. Iowa needs it. Then they go to number 24 Wisconsin. They host Ohio State. They're at Penn State, which will not be easy. They host Michigan, and then they're at Nebraska. That's
pretty brutal.
Final six games.
When you put it like that, I don't see them getting in the tournament.
I don't either. I just don't think they have the quality. Now, they have a ton of opportunities to get these quality wins.
Right.
But the way they've played the past, even they beat Northwestern by six, beat USC, who's, I think, pretty good by one, struggled against Rutgers at home. They did beat them, though. And they had opportunities, you know. Losing at Minnesota was rough. Had opportunity at home against Illinois, and they lose. At Purdue, they were in there, lost. At home against Purdue on Saturday, I think you'd feel okay about that one since it's at home. Gets absolutely destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say they don't make it. That's my prediction right now, is they do not make it.
And maybe it's not a Fran thing in February and March. Maybe it's an Iowa culture thing.
Maybe it's an Iowa thing. I don't know. And the thing that's – and, of course, college basketball is different now where you can just reload in the portal. But
yeah,
a lot of their guys are seniors. A lot of Indiana's guys are seniors. They lose everyone. Yeah. They're going to have to kind of try to do it again.
Yep.
Here we go with UCLA, who is strictly bubble right now. At 17-8, they're seventh in the Big Ten. Lost Arizona at home. They came in the year, ranked in the top 15, didn't they? Or top 20 at least.
Mm-hmm. Very hyped.
Yeah. Had a chance to beat Arizona early in the season, lost by four, lost at Cal, lost at Gonzaga. They did beat Arizona State, who stinks, so they don't have any good non-conference wins. They did win at Washington. They lost at Iowa and at Wisconsin. They beat Maryland, Penn State, lost at Ohio State. They did beat Purdue. But other than that, Purdue is by far their best win.
Mm-hmm.
I would say their second best win in Big Ten play might be at Washington.
Yeah, it's not very high up there.
And their schedule's pretty tough the rest of the way. They go at Michigan State tomorrow, and then they host Illinois, then they host USC, then they're at Minnesota, host Nebraska, and then at USC. Those two USC games could be the deciding factor whether they get in or not.
Yeah, in the Purdue game, and I know you got to win no matter what, and you don't take these things for consideration. I don't think the committee does, but Purdue gifted them that up six with
definitely
2 minutes left.
Yeah.
But when you know, I'm glad you're going over the future schedule, because when I hear that, I'm like, I don't think they get in, because I don't see them winning a lot of those games.
I don't either. They have to beat USC at least once, and yeah, I would say they have to beat either Illinois or Nebraska at home.
They got to beat somebody you're not supposed to beat. Yep.
Have to. And I could see them obviously doing it, but as of right now, I'm going to say they don't make it either. Because their quality of wins are just garbage. And but Purdue's keeping Indiana and UCLA afloat.
I know, it's so frustrating. I can stomach losing Illinois, especially when a freshman puts up a remarkable game like that. Because Purdue played good offensively that game.
They
just couldn't stop Illinois, but UCLA and Indiana was like turn. That it's like you should beat those teams more times than they beat you. So
yeah,
those are the two that irk me really, but definitely. Is what it is.
You can't change it.
Nope.
Moving on to USC, who is 18-7, but they're 11th in the Big Ten. You look at their non-conference, their best win is not great either here. Their best win's probably at Boise State.
Not everybody plays tough non-cons like Illinois and Purdue.
That's fair. Seton Hall is a pretty good win. Yeah, Seton Hall is probably their best win in the non-conference at Arizona State.
Big East kind of stinks, doesn't it?
It does. It's bad this year. Remember when everyone said for years the ACC was the best conference, and now they've kind of fallen back quite a bit. It's kind of the same with the Big East. Yep.
And it's the Big Ten head and shoulders over everybody else. Big 12 is not bad either.
No, Big 12 is very good. Yeah, very good. USC, though, lost by 30 at Michigan, 29 at Michigan State. They did win at Minnesota by one, lost to Purdue, lost to Northwestern at home.
Yeah, that's about
that could be one that. But then they go and win at Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So they kind of lose at Iowa by one, beat Indiana, win at Penn State by two, lose at Ohio State. Now they host Illinois in Oregon this week, and then they're at UCLA, host Nebraska, at Washington, and then host UCLA. And the bubble must be weak if they're in right now too.
Yeah. But they're like one of the last four in, I think. So
yeah. I'm gonna say USC gets in. I think they have the talent to do it.
I am too. I think they gotta get one, if not two, in the Big Ten tournament, though. But I think for the sake of this conversation, they find a way, because I feel like I'm putting everybody out all of a sudden. So
we're pretty negative.
Yeah.
they'll probably all get in. We look stupid. Mm-hmm. Now, a case that as of now, I think Lenardi has them as one of their last teams out, and that is the Ohio State.
Yeah, which guys, I don't think they're in right now.
I don't either. 16-9. Non-conference, they lost to a terrible Pittsburgh team. Pitt is 9-17.
Who's their coach now?
Jeff Capel still. I assume.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, I assume he's going to get fired.
Yeah.
Lost at Pitt. They beat West Virginia by one. Lost to North Carolina by one. That was a heartbreaker. Their best non-conference win is West Virginia. That was a neutral. West Virginia's okay. They're 16-9. Notre Dame, they beat by one. Notre Dame stinks. Big Ten play, though, they have beaten UCLA is a good win. That's at home, though. USC is a good win. Those are their two best wins in Big Ten play. Had a chance against Virginia on Saturday and lost. Now, this week they host Wisconsin. Then they're at Michigan State, at Iowa, host Purdue, at Penn State, and then host Indiana. I'm going to say Ohio State doesn't come close to making it.
I agree with you.
Jake Diebler's canned.
Yep.
Is my guess. I'm very glad that Ohio State decided to hire Jake Diebler because Ohio State was kind of on their way out a little bit, falling back a little bit towards the end of the Holtman years. And instead of going out and getting somebody, they just fell further back by hiring Jake Diebler. It sounded like John Calipari wanted the job. And very, very glad he ended up at Arkansas and they decided to promote Diebler. But again, Diebler's out of school, much like Dusty May, where football is king.
Oh, yeah. And always will be.
But I think this is the year you kind of have to move on from him. Bruce Thornton is a very good player. He's a guy that I compare to Malcolm Hill a little bit at Illinois. Very good first team, all Big Ten kind of player, and he will probably never make the NCAA tournament in his 4 years he's been there, which seems very, very unacceptable if you're Ohio State, who you could argue they ran the Big Ten from 2010 to 2015 or 16. Like, they were awesome.
There's a little window there, yeah.
They did. Well, starting with Greg Oden, I guess.
Yeah, about 2007. Yeah.
It's really falling back now.
And now, they're not going to go rehire Thad because he can't coach
anymore. No, he can't coach anymore. He's at Butler. And they're hovering right around 500, which is not great. You want to go and pick some Big Ten games here real quick. I do have my blind ranking is Big Ten basketball related. Starting with tomorrow night, Michigan at Purdue. Michigan's down to a 1.5-point favorite now.
1.5, dropped from 2.5. I'm going Homer here. I'm going Purdue.
This will be the J-Man's
book. It's going to be one way or the other.
I think Michigan's the best team in the country, and I think they go in there and win it by one.
Oh, thanks.
Half court buzzer beater a la Ron Harper Jr. Merez Johnson hits it, and we all hate each other for it. But J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watching Insurance Agency for Life, Home, Auto, Business, Renters, Workers' Comp, Farm Insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561.
It is nice knowing that all Big Ten contending fans of Big Ten contending teams will be rooting for Purdue tomorrow because they need Michigan to drop one.
Yeah, my hate is too strong, Tanner. That's fair.
It was like yesterday. I was a little torn. Indiana gets Illinois.
I know.
A little torn. I say that a little.
Understand completely. But yeah, a big couple weeks for Michigan as they play Purdue and then at Illinois next week. So
they play Duke this weekend.
And they play Duke this week. That has no bearing.
Even though any cats put that as the number one game this week over Purdue Michigan. I'm like, I get names to play, but it's a conference game. Come on, cats.
I'd put Arizona, Houston over Duke, Michigan. But, I would say this game at Purdue and then next week's game at Illinois could be the deciding factors when it comes to winning the Big Ten title. Tuesday night, UCLA at Michigan State.
Give me Sparty.
Yeah, I think Sparty bounces back after getting just absolutely destroyed by Wisconsin. 9.5-point favorite Michigan State is. On Fox Sports 1, we have Wisconsin at Ohio State. Massive one for Ohio State.
Wisconsin. I just don't trust Ohio State.
Wisconsin's guards are good. Wisconsin's a 1.5-point favorite. Ohio State fans don't deserve to make it. They'll have 10,000 people in an 18,000 seat arena. And it's
always pathetic. Do.
Give me Wisconsin. Massive, massive, massive one here. Nebraska at Iowa. How's Nebraska ranked ahead of Illinois?
ninth.
I'm taking Nebraska as well. Peyton Sanford or Price Sanford.
You know, Illinois or Iowa's won 7 of the last 10 in that series, but
Price Sanford returns. He's a lot better than Peyton.
Yeah, he is. My opinion.
And then one I don't really care about, but we can pick it anyway. 11-14 Minnesota at 9-16 Oregon. Oregon's 3.5-point
favorite. Give me Oregon because it's at Oregon.
Yeah, Minnesota's kind of falling back there.
I will not watch a second of that game.
No, me either. It's a late one anyway. It's a 9:30 tip. Yeah, I'm not watching it. It's Central Time.
Your time. I was going to say Central Time. Yeah.
Buckers at Penn State Wednesday.
Penn State. I take home teams.
10-15 versus 11-15 there. I'm taking Penn State as well. Then 10-15 Maryland at 10-16 Northwestern.
Give me Northwestern, I guess. Yeah, I don't know. They both stink.
And then Illinois at USC.
Yeah, Illinois gets a dog. I think it's a little dog fight, but Illinois gets a dog.
I do too. I do too.
USC's physical. They're physical.
They have some talent. on the island. I'm very
always physical.
I feel so much safer when Kylan Boswell's on the court. So I'm very, very glad he's back. Thursday night, no games, as I said, which ticks me off. Indiana at Purdue Friday night.
I know Indiana got them the first time. I feel good about the rematch. I'm taking Purdue in this
one. Purdue by 30 plus. You can book
if
that.
If Jalen Hood-Schifino was playing, I might say different.
Yeah.
He'd be the perfect player for this Indiana team.
Oh, for sure. They need a guy like that.
Yeah.
100%. Rutgers at Minnesota.
I'll take Minnesota home.
Yeah, give me Minnesota. Penn State at Nebraska.
Nebraska.
Give me Nebraska. Washington at Maryland.
Maryland, I guess.
Give me Washington.
Traveling cross
country. I think Washington might be favored in that one.
Yeah.
They have some talent. They're just not very good.
They do.
Which is weird. Oregon at USC.
USC.
Michigan at Duke. That's neutral. What am I talking about?
Michigan.
Yeah, give me Michigan. And then Illinois at UCLA.
Illinois in another close one. I think they get them both. I think they're close. I think J-Man's sweating.
I think Illinois splits this week. But I'm going to take them anyway. I'm going to take Illinois to go 2-0, even though I think they split. Then Sunday, we have Ohio State at Michigan State.
I think good week for Sparty.
Yeah, give me Michigan State. Another big one here for Iowa at Wisconsin.
Wisconsin, bad week for the Hawks.
I agree with you. You want to do some top 25 games? I don't think we've done this all year.
Might as well. I can't tell you much about any team because I haven't watched much outside of Big Ten.
Number 2, Houston at number 6, Iowa State tonight. Big Monday.
Iowa State.
Give me Iowa State. I think both teams are very good, though. Tuesday night, I'm just trying to find ranked matchups, and we don't have any Tuesday besides the Michigan-Purdue one. We have Arkansas at Alabama on Wednesday.
Give me Arkansas.
I think Arkansas is good. Darius Acuff is a problem there. Give me Arkansas. BYU minus their second-best player, Richie Saunders, tears ACL at Arizona.
Arizona bounces back. They're not losing three straight.
Yeah, I agree with you. Give me Arizona. Let's see. Thursday night, no top 25. Friday night, we have – oh, this is a good one. ESPN2, 6 o'clock Central Time. VCU, who's 20-6, travels to number 18, St. Louis, who's 24-1.
Interesting. ESPN2. Give me the Billikens.
Yeah, give me St. Louis. I think Josh Schertz is going to be a big-time name. Oh, yeah. Who could be? He's already been mentioned as a potential Kansas State hiree.
How about Ohio State?
Maybe. Bowling Green, number 6, or not number, 16 and 10 Bowling Green at number 22, undefeated Miami of Ohio. Yeah,
Miami Ohio takes care of them.
I agree. Let's go to Saturday. Arizona at Houston, number 4 against 2.
Houston.
Give me Houston as well. Number 6, Iowa State at number 23, BYU. Man, the Big 12's a gauntlet.
I'll take BYU.
Give me Iowa State. BYU with no Richie Saunders is nothing. And that'll do it for top 25 games.
You know what? I already can fill it for you or me. Miami, Ohio is going to go undefeated. Going to be the 10 in either Purdue or Illinois region when Purdue or Illinois is a 2.
Yeah. Definitely.
You can book it.
Yeah, I was literally thinking at work today. It's like, man, I think I'd rather be a 2 seed than a 1 seed because the teams you are playing are better, but marginally better, and you don't have as much of a target on your back as a 2 as you do a 1.
True. It's true.
So I'd almost rather be a 2. I don't remember Illinois ever being a 2. They were a 3 for like the first time in a long time 2 years ago. Of course, they've been a 1 seed a couple times, but. Yeah, Travis Steele doing a heck of a job there at Miami, Ohio. He's John Gross's, I think, half-brother or step-brother or something like that, some relation. But, as I said, my blind rank is Big Ten basketball-related. I took some first-team All-Big Tens from the past 10 years or so, and I chose one guy that I wouldn't call them forgotten men, but I would say we don't really talk about them very often anymore. And I want you to rank them 1 through 5, starting with Nate Mason.
Yeah, very solid player for some forgettable average Minnesota teams.
Yeah.
A couple good teams in there. I'll put him at 4.
All right. Chris Murray.
Oh, okay. Chris. Yeah. Still, yeah, good player, overshadowed by his brother on some very good Iowa teams. I'm going to put him at 5.
All right. EJ Liddell.
He was a bucket.
Yeah, he was
good. He was a bucket. Put him at two.
EJ's one of those guys that he should be talked about a lot more, but because he plays for Ohio State, that aren't nearly as good as they have been. People just don't talk about him anymore. Yep. He was very good. The only reason why he didn't end up at Illinois is because of Mark Smith. I don't want to say what I want to say there, but I don't like Mark Smith, but he got in EJ's ear. EJ visited Illinois like five times, and they thought for sure they were getting him. Anyway, moving on. Lamar Stevens.
Lamar, oh, Penn State.
Yeah.
That was when Chambers was recruiting real well. He was cheating so bad.
he was.
But it didn't help him at all, but yeah. I'll put Stevens at three. So I got okay. Last one's number one for me, whoever
it is. I think you're going to be okay with it, and that's Ethan Happ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Ethan Happ was stud.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really good.
He was so frustrating because you play against him, you get the ball down low, you're like a skinny guy, push him around. Yeah. And somehow he'd find his way to the bucket and make it almost every
yeah,
time.
Yeah, he just flipped it up
free
there.
Throws, but
yeah.
Man, he was almost automatic when he got in the paint.
He has a similar game to TKR a little bit.
Yeah. You don't want him at the line late in the game, that's for sure.
but the way they go about it, with that little push shot they yep. did, yep. Ethan did that. I thought Ethan kind of hurt himself by not attempting to try to become more of a three-point shooter. Yeah, I think that was his only way into the NBA was to do that.
Yep, I
agree. Because he was only like 6'9"-ish.
Yep.
But he was very good, very productive, all four-year player there.
Good blind rankings list, which is brought to you by Like Is Every, Performer Print 2 Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for your next trade show, company picnic, or a sales meeting in 2026, Performer Print 2 Promo Group is over 50 years of combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. Before we do on this day, I do want to make sure I talk a little golf this week. And it's actually the title of this episode is Anthony Kim is back. Live Golf probably will not have any more focus on them than they do right now. And that's because Anthony Kim, who was a huge star in the golf world, a rising star in the golf world in the late 2000s, was a multi-time winner on tour, was a Ryder Cup guy in 2008. And then he tore his Achilles, had a few other injuries, absolutely disappeared from the world of golf in like 2012, maybe 2013. Disappeared. Nobody heard about him for years. Well, come to find out, he was battling some drug addiction, some mental health problems. And then he pops up 2 years ago, all of a sudden, trying to get his game back. And Liv was interested, joins Liv last year as a free agent, so he wasn't part of anybody's team. Played by himself all year long. Got better as the year went on. I mean, at first he was shooting like in the 80s. And everybody's like, what is he doing? Like, what is Liv doing? This is just a publicity stunt type thing. Then he got relegated because Liv only keeps so many guys every year points-wise. Had a battle back in the offseason in a qualifying tournament. Made it back into Liv for at least a year. Patrick Reed decides a couple weeks ago, hey, I'm not playing Liv this year. I'm out. I'm going to play DP World Tour. I'm going to try to get back to the PGA Tour in 2027, which Patrick Reed's playing amazing golf right now, so it looks like he's made a really good decision. I mean, Koepka's done it. He's trying to do it now. So the Four Aces had a slot open 2 weeks ago. Anthony Kim's their new guy. Plays really good last week, but everyone's like, okay, it's probably a one-off. Then this week starts off really hot in the week, finds himself in the last group going into Sunday, and this is arguably their biggest tournament of the year. It's in Australia, which they get really good crowds. Australia loves this tour. They actually, like, watch it and everything. In the final, he's paired in the final group with John Rahm, Bryson DeChambeau, but he's five shots back going in yesterday. He wins the tournament.
That's incredible.
His last win was 2010. Like I said, I mean, he was in such a dark place, he almost left this earth a couple of times. And, I mean, it's one of the more incredible stories, not just that golf scene, in the sports world in the last 10 or so years. Yeah. And that's why yesterday, like, guys who cover golf, they were putting their feelings towards Liv aside and, like, they're like, this is great for Anthony Kim. Like, this is awesome type thing. The crowd was behind him. And, I mean, he's playing against two fan favorites in John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau. Like I said, he not only came from behind down five, he took him to the woodshed yesterday. Yeah. He was making tough shot after shot, tough putt, and yeah, it was pretty neat to see. So,
yeah, that is an incredible story. As far as like unlikely, how would you rank that compared to like Tiger Woods Masters a few years ago?
It's up there, but I still think he put Tiger's at the top because of it being Tiger Woods and the most famous golf tournament in the world and everything he went through. Anthony Kim went through different stuff, though, and a different struggle. And he was just kind of like a myth in the golf world for the last, like, 12 years. Like, you remember Anthony Kim? The guy was Ryder Cupper and had the big belt, shiny belt buckles and was taking the world by storm and then just disappeared type thing. Another one's Phil Mickelson winning the 2021 PGA Championship.
That's right.
In his 50s. At the age of 50, that was pretty impressive. But, yeah, it's right up there, and it was the best thing that could happen to Liv just from a hype standpoint, attention.
Yeah, definitely.
So now they got another name that – even if he doesn't win the rest of the year, which his game looks like if yesterday is like, okay, this guy might win multiple times. He's kind of a big name in the golf world again, all of a sudden, which is really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. And that's the cool thing about golf. It's not a team sport. It's an individual sport. So somebody can play terrible, then find their career. So, and then one last note, my boy, Ricky played at Pebble Beach. I was sitting pretty after two rounds, was in the final group on Saturday, one back. Long story short, ended up tied for 19th. Had a bad Saturday. Shot one over par. And he actually broke. He had the longest streak on tour for an even or under par round. He had 29 in a row.
Really?
Got one over par on Saturday. Then yesterday was like two under. But three starts, three top 20 finishes.
Yeah.
Start the year. So trending in the right direction. I think he's going to get one soon. So.
Yeah.
And Colin Morikawa. Got the win. Another big name in golf, but hadn't won in a little while. He got the win, and then afterwards, him and his wife announced they're expecting their first child. So nice. It was pretty cool how he dropped that right there after he won the tournament. So,
that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ricky, if he was able to win, you know, if he was able to win a major, oh my gosh, that'd be insane.
Yeah, I want to say he's going to be in contention sometime, but he was – a couple years ago in the U.S. Open, going in the final round, had the lead by one.
Yeah, I remember that. It just
wasn't even close that day. So
yeah. He's got to start feeling some pressure once he gets to that spot too.
I mean, the other day, this is 17th year on tour.
Wow,
it's hard to believe.
That's crazy.
yeah. He's not a youngster anymore out there. He's a veteran now. So, all right, let's learn about some sporting events that have happened on this day in February 16th. Got some figure skating stuff, some Winter Olympics stuff going on.
Did you watch much of the Olympics?
No,
I haven't either. I haven't watched a second.
I didn't mean to laugh. I respect what they do.
It's just not for me.
Oh, great. My mouse is acting up. That's great. Man, this is not a good week.
The Super Bowl's always over.
You're
in the middle of conference play in college basketball. Maybe some NBA All-Star game, but other than that.
Next year, the Super Bowl's on Valentine's Day, which is like the latest thing I can remember.
Yeah, I don't ever remember it. The last Super Bowl ever – I was born on Super Bowl Sunday, and I just saw the last Super Bowl that was ever held on my birthday was in 2003, January 26,
2003. Jeez, it's just February now.
Now it's just been in February ever since.
Well, on this day, 1972, Wilt Chamberlain of the Los Angeles Lakers became the first player in NBA history to reach career 30,000 point mark.
He was pretty good.
Yeah, he was. Probably doesn't get as much credit as he deserves, really, for the all-time.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Man, got some Daytona 500 stuff. This is a bad day. On this day in 1989, Oral Hershiser of the LA Dodgers signed a $7.9 million 3-year contract, which was big money back then.
Yeah, it was.
Compare that to also on this day, Roger Clemens signed a 3-year contract with the Red Sox for $7.5
million. Wow, rolling in the dough. Those guys, Clemens especially, he'd be a $400 million man at least in today's game.
On this day in 1992, the Lakers retired Magic Johnson's number 32 jersey. On this day, 1997, the 39th Daytona 500 was ran. Hendrick Motorsports posted a 1-2-3 finish with Jeff Gordon winning the race Terry Labonte, runner-up, and Ricky Craven, third place.
I had to feel pretty good for them.
Yeah. Nice play name for Mr. Hendricks.
Yeah. Though.
On this day, 1999, O.J. Simpson's 1968 Heisman Trophy sold for $230,000 to help settle a $33.5 million civil judgment against Simpson for the deaths of his ex-wife and her friend.
Yeah.
On this day, 2003, the 45th Daytona 500 was held. Michael Waltrip won for the second time in 3 years. The race ended after 109 laps with rain. Yeah, Waltrip won like three or four races, I think, maybe five, and two of them were Daytona 500s.
That's why he was such a big name then.
Yep.
Because it seemed like he was a huge name.
And it is his brother, Darrell Waltrip's more well known for
maybe that's and
everything. Yeah. DW. On this day in 2005, that 2004-05 NHL season was canceled. First time a North American Professional Sports League called off a season due to labor dispute.
I don't even remember that. Well, baseball's probably next year.
And on this day, 2014, the 63rd NBA All-Star Game was held. The East beat the West 163-155. Who was MVP?
I have a hard time not picking LeBron James.
He played for this team at one time. It was Kyrie Irving of the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Interesting.
And on this day, 2020, NBA All-Star Game was held right before, last thing before the pandemic, really.
Yeah.
Team LeBron beat Team Giannis 157-155. Who was MVP?
I mean, now that they no longer do East-West, I have no idea.
Kawhi Leonard.
I guess. Huh?
Kawhi Leonard. And last year, the 67th Daytona 500 was ran. William Byron became the first back-to-back winner since Denny Hamlin in 1920 after escaping the chaos that knocked out the bulk of contenders in two late race accidents.
Yeah.
And the On This Day segment is brought to you by Blue River Digital. Where is my read? There it is. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on system strategy and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional products, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749 to see how they can help you with your digital marketing. And real quick, before we get to birdie or bogey, I had two different things pulled up for this week, baseball related. I will save one for next week, but we are going to do this other one. And I found a site called Bracket Fights. Oh. And I'm going to share my screen. This is probably going to be a good experience for the audio listeners, but everybody viewing this will probably enjoy it. I got a bunch of different MLB hats up here.
Okay.
And you're going to look, go matchup by matchup and tell me which one you like better.
I like the best.
I think a lot of them are the alternate hats. I did not make this template. So hopefully you can see them. This first matchup. There we go. Blue Jays or Rangers?
Blue Jays clear easily.
Okay. Phillies or this lightning bolt looking Dodger hat?
Phillies. Those are classic.
Pirates with a paint splatter and Brewers.
Brewers. Easy. Sleek.
Diamondbacks alternate and the classic Twins.
Ooh, man. I got to go classic Twins.
Like I said, I didn't make this, so there's going to be a lot of teams left off here. Blue Jays or Phillies?
Oh, man. Give me the Blue Jays. I like that look.
Brewers or Twins? Two classic hats there.
Brewers.
And Brewers or Blue Jays for the side of the bracket?
Blue Jays.
Chase. Okay. Cardinals or Expos? Throwback Expos.
Expos for sure. You can just get Expos all the way.
Well, then that's the uglier one for the Cardinals than their other
design. Orioles.
Orioles or Padres? Orioles.
Yeah.
Mets or Giants?
Giants. Give me Giants.
And Red Sox, but not their classic. Look, this is more of a white one and the classic Yankees cap.
Classic Yankees.
Expos or Orioles, those are two good hats.
Those are very good. Give me the Expos, though.
Expos?
It's a nostalgia thing.
Yankees or the alternate Giants?
Yankees, easy.
And Yankees or Expos?
Expos.
So all Toronto, or not Toronto, all Canada. All Canada. Expos or Blue Jays?
Give me the Expos, for sure. I love that hat.
Making the cake.
Bring them back.
For the first bracket wars on the Tan and J-Man show. And I have another MLB hat list thing for you next week, but that was going to take longer. So. Cool. Birdie or bogey tonight, what college has produced the most kickers to be drafted in the NFL draft?
This school had two kickers I know of drafted, so I'm going to pick them, and that's Florida State.
Heck of a guess. Probably has produced the most kickers, but yeah. No. One more? Any more in the holster? I'll give you a par if you can get on second chance. Try.
Florida.
Another good guess, and they've had some, but the Ohio State University.
Really? I would not have guessed.
That's what the internet says.
Nick Kindig, was that his name? No.
Mike Nugent.
Mike Nugent. Nate Kading.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of. Interesting. That was a good question, though. Yep. I stink. Thanks for watching the Tan and J-Man show. We'll be back at her next Monday with another episode. Have a fantastic week, everybody.